Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling a bit shy, you can always reach us by email. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up online while you're there at hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Tortora, or check us out on Facebook for Hawaiian Eye Center. The Facebook and Twitter posts will often give you information about some of the things we talk about here on the radio. If you want to hear about eyes, during the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. And we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's happening in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. So I thought that we'd talk a little bit today about eye injuries, because this is a common thing that we see in the office. People come in with various types of injuries, and many of them, unfortunately, well, fortunately or unfortunately, are preventable, but have not been prevented, right? So we want to educate people about how you can help to reduce the chance that you will be one of the people coming in to our office or another eye office around the island or islands and having an eye injury. So first thing is to recognize what types of activities are eye dangerous or potentially could risk injury to the eyes. And in general, just broad categories, those types of things are sports. So certain sports have a high risk of eye injuries. We'll talk a little bit more about that. A home work around the house with chemicals. So certain chemicals splashing in your eyes can cause serious damage or image or injury to the eyes. Even certain plants that you work with in the yard can cause damage to the eyes and serious injuries. And so sports, work around the house, and then work either around the house or at home with power tools or with automobiles. So any kind of repair of your car, any type of grinding or other things that you're doing with the with power tools around your house are going to give you an increased risk of eye injuries. So what can you do? Well, you can wear protective eyewear to help reduce the chance of injury in your eyes. And so let's talk about some of the types of things that you can do to your eyes, what kinds of injuries we commonly see in the office. And then let's talk about some of the ways to protect your eyes from some of these injuries. So the first thing, for those of you who have to leave the program shortly, that I will mention is wearing protective eyeglasses. Don't have to be goggles, can just be eyeglasses, safety glasses typically, when you're doing any kind of work around the house or work that involves power tools or work that involves anything that may increase the risk for eye injury. Wearing protective safety glasses is the first critical step that you can take. And safety glasses are available in lots of different places. You can buy them probably even in drugstores, but for sure you can buy them in hardware stores, places like Lowe's and Home Depot and City Mill and all of these home repair places. And you can also get them from optical shops, although they're probably a little bit more expensive if they're custom-made or prescription for you. They are generally available in optical shops like our optical shops at Hawaiian Eye Center's locations here on Oahu in Wahiwa and Waipahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. So what kinds of injuries can people get from sports? Well, the most common eye injuries with sports are from pokes and elbows. So if you're playing basketball, you can get poked by another player's fingers. You can get poked by their elbow. You can get banged by their body, hitting your body. And that works for sports like basketball, where there are people in close contact, football, where people are in close contact, and not so much for baseball and other sports that have less contact. Certainly hockey, it's a risk of eye injuries from running into your teammates or the opposite teammates. Fights break out in hockey. That, of course, can result in eye injuries. The other type of injury that occurs commonly with sports is injuries related to what you're playing with. So particularly for amateur players, if you're playing racquetball, for example, or squash, there's a fast-moving ball, and that ball is fairly small in size. So if it hits you directly in the eye, it's not blocked by the bone around the eye called the orbit. And so because that squash ball is small enough to fit inside the orbit, it can actually impact the eyeball itself and cause serious damage to the eyeball. A baseball is a little bit larger, and it's going to be stopped by the orbit, by the bone around the eye. But, of course, if you're cracked hard enough in that bone, it's going to cause a fracture of the bone, and that's an injury that may affect the eye as well. So larger balls like baseballs and larger baseballs, footballs, although footballs are oblong, so they can go into the eye if they hit you the right direction, right way. If it goes right, the end of the football goes right directly into your eye, that could cause a serious injury. So people who are up at bat to play baseball wear helmets and usually some eye protection in the younger kids who are playing. And people who play football wear helmets, which afford some eye protection. People who play racquetball are required to wear safety glasses when they go out on the court. I don't think that there's an owner of a court anywhere that's willing to take the risk of an eye injury that will let you go on and play racquetball without eye protection. So that's sort of required by most racquetball and squash courts. And, of course, other sports like tennis, where you could get hit in the eye, unlikely to have a serious eye injury. Basketball, people are not in the habit of wearing eye protection as much as they should be. Certainly eye protection would be helpful for basketball, because we do see a number of basketball-related eye injuries from pokes with fingers or elbows. As people are going for the ball, they hit your face by mistake, or maybe on purpose, I don't know. So the sports-related injuries are one form of injury, and there are a number of sports-specific types of eye protection that can be utilized, particularly by kids who are playing these types of sports, which are likely to help protect the eyes from injury with the particular sports. So make sure that if your child is playing sports, then they are equipped with the proper safety protection, not only against concussions and other things with helmets, but also against eye injuries. And if you are just doing a pickup game of basketball, and maybe you're not as coordinated as you used to be when you were a teenager playing basketball, then you may want to consider wearing some kind of eye protection as well, just to reduce the chance you're going to get poked or elbowed in the eye. Squash, of course, special safety glasses made for that, or any kinds of safety glasses can be used for playing squash. So sports-related eye injuries, fairly common. We can reduce significantly the chance of people developing sports-related eye injuries by having them wear the appropriate type of eye protection. Okay, I want to talk about some of the home-type injuries that you can develop as a result of working with chemicals around the house, or working out in the yard, or working with power tools or other types of tools for various construction projects around the house. But first, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll talk about eye injuries around the home.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, Medical Director of the Hawaiian Eye Center. My colleague, Dr. Stephen Rhee, and I enjoy helping people see better.
Sometimes we're keeping people from seeing worse.
Patients ask me, how do I know if I have glaucoma? Unfortunately, you don't. Most glaucoma is only detected with a complete eye examination.
So, if you have cataract, glaucoma, diabetes, or just want new eyeglasses, call us today.
Find us online at hawaiianeye.com or call 733-2020. That spells C-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost? Paradise, and there were so many ways to go.
Ah, yes, Hawaiian Eyes. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show, and this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, you can reach us here at the program. It's 521-8383 to call us at the radio station, and we're happy to try to answer any questions that you might have. I spent the first part of the program talking a little bit about sports-related eye injuries and what you can do to protect your eyes and your keiki's eyes when they're out playing sports. I want to talk now about some eye injuries that can occur around the home. And I think the biggest one that we worry about is splashes and spills of liquids or chemicals around the house that are toxic to the eye. And the ones that I can think of that are most dangerous around the house are Drano. Drano is probably the worst thing around the house that I can think of that you can get in your eye. Some cleaning chemicals, some types of soaps and cleaning chemicals that people use to clean around the house. And bleach. Bleach is pretty bad getting in the eye. And then if you have a swimming pool, there are several chemicals that you use in the maintenance of the swimming pool that can be very dangerous for the eyes. Muriatic acid, very strong acid, if that goes in your eyes, can cause serious damage to the eye. The other stabilizing compounds, the alkaline products, the pH stabilizers and so forth can also be toxic to the eye if they get in your eyes. So if you have a swimming pool and you take care of the chemicals yourself, be careful. Wear gloves, wear eye protection. Make sure that you're not getting doing anything that may increase the risk of getting these chemicals in your eyes. Now, if you're around the house and working with Drano, let's say, and it splashes up and gets in your eye, what should you do? Since I just said that Drano is about the worst thing you can get in your eye that's around the house, the first thing you should do is rinse out your eye. And what you want to do is actually stick your whole head and your eye under running water so that the water is actually running into your eye or through your eye to try to dilute the chemical, try to dilute the material that's in the eye. And you're trying to rinse it out as much as you can. So you want to keep your head and your eye under the water for a good 5 minutes. You don't want to just, you know, do it for a second. Oh, good, that's good enough. You want to totally dilute the chemical, and chemicals like Drano or like some of the pool chemicals can actually continue to do harm to the eye even after an initial rinsing. And so you need to make sure that it's as diluted and rinsed as possible. As a matter of fact, when they do these things in the emergency room, when you get acid in your eye, for example, and they go in and wash it out in the emergency room, they actually wash it out for almost half an hour, and then they check with a little pH paper to sometimes to see if that acid has been neutralized inside your eye. Or alkaline materials like lye, even more dangerous to the eye, because they cause ongoing damage even after the chemical itself has been washed out. So chemicals in the eye, immediate first aid, rinse it out. Don't go to the emergency room immediately. Don't go to the doctor's office immediately and leave the stuff in your eye. Rinse it out first. If you only don't have running water and you can only splash some milk in your eye or some other stuff that you have that's liquid and that's drinkable and that's not irritating to the surface of the eye. Like, I wouldn't put wine in my eye or orange juice probably, but I would go ahead if you have soda or if you have water or milk. That's something that will dilute the chemical and help. So immediate first aid is to get it rinsed out, get it neutralized, reduce the amount of time that the toxin stays in contact with the surface of the eye, because the less it's in contact with the eye, the quicker it's neutralized and eliminated from the eye, the less likely it is to cause a serious and severe injury to the surface of the eye. So chemicals in the eyes, if it starts burning, if it starts irritating your eye, some kind of chemical that you're working with, rinse it out immediately as much as you can with water, and then go and check it out. Get it checked by emergency room or by an eye physician. You can look at any chemical that you're using around the house, and there will be information on it about what to do if it's swallowed, what to do if it gets in the eyes, what to do if it gets, you know, elsewhere on your body, whether you should wear gloves when you're using it. And so it's important to look at those cautions before you start using the chemical, so that you know how to deal with it if it does unexpectedly splash into your eye, for example. Okay, so that's a little bit about chemicals. Now, while we're talking about chemicals, I also want to talk a little bit about the garden. People work in their gardens all the time. They're working with different plants. And there are a number of plants that actually have sap, which is quite toxic to the surface of the eye. The one that comes immediately to mind, which really causes a severe burn of the eye, is called the crown flower plant. Crown flowers are used a lot in lei. Those of you who make lei know that you use crown flowers when you have them available. And the crown flower itself is not so bad, but the sap from the tree, if even a little bit of that sap gets into your eye, it causes a severe burn of the surface of the eye that can lead to blurred vision for days or weeks following the exposure. And if a lot of it gets in there, it can be months or longer. I don't know, it could even be permanent. And so crown flower sap is really toxic to the eye. If you're ever working with crown flower tree, cutting it, that type of thing, make sure you wear gloves and you take off the gloves before you ever touch your face. And wash your hands well before you touch your face following work with a crown flower tree or plant. So crown flower sap can be very toxic to the surface of the eye. And once every couple of months, we have someone come in who's been working in the yard, trimming their trees, and I guess they get a little bit on their hand, and then they rub their eyes, and they end up with a severe, what we call keratitis, due to the crown flower sap. So something to watch out for and be careful of. Other plants that have sap toxic to the eye are any plants that have that white-colored sap. So, for example, you would want to avoid being exposed to plumeria sap or to pencil tree sap or to bottle brush tree sap. All of these whitish saps can be quite toxic to the surface of the eye and can cause injuries. So those are things to be aware of and be careful of when you're working out in the yard. Of course, anytime you're working in the yard, plants, other material gets on your hands, you touch your face, you rub your eyes, you can develop an allergy related to some of these types of things. Some people have allergies to certain types of plants and chemicals that occur naturally, and they may develop a redness or irritation around the eye just from working in the yard and then touching their eyes after touching plants without and not having washed their hands. Even the tomato plant, which a lot of us grow in our gardens to have some tomatoes to eat, is related to the deadly nightshade family of plants, which is a poisonous plant. So you shouldn't be eating the leaves of the tomatoes and shouldn't be touching or dealing with tomatoes without washing your hands afterwards. So working in the yard, working around the house, things that can increase your risk for eye injuries. And just make sure that if you get any of these toxic materials in your eyes, the first thing you do is rinse out your eye as thoroughly and as long as you can, preferably with running water running directly into your eye to rinse it out. If you can open your eye under a stream of running water, that's the best. So what else? Well, working around the house, a lot of people use power tools. They might be drilling, or they might be grinding, or they might be working on their car, and underneath their car, looking up at whatever they're doing, it may dislodge little bits of metal, little pieces of rust. When you're grinding, these little pieces of rust come at high speed and can embed themselves in the surface of the eye. And when this happens, it typically, a little foreign body embeds itself in the surface of the eye, and it starts to rust, and it rusts because the tears are salty, and the piece of metal has some iron in it, and this leads to rusting. And the rust itself causes inflammation and irritation of the surface of the eye. So not only do you have something in there that's irritating your eye, but now it's starting to rust, and that rust is causing further irritation of your eye. So if you get a little piece of metal in the eye, and it kind of sticks in there, and you can't remove it, then you need to see an eye specialist to have that removed. A few emergency room doctors can do it, but typically it does require a visit to the eye specialist to actually take care of this, depending how large the piece of metal is and whether it's rusting. If there is rust, then the rust leaches into the tissue around where the foreign object is embedded in the surface of the eye, and that rust needs to be removed with a special instrument. It needs to be polished out. Fortunately, this can be done painlessly in the office because we can numb the surface of the eye. And so the procedure to remove the rust ring is not uncomfortable, but it certainly needs to be done to help keep the eyes as healthy and comfortable as possible, because that rust and that foreign object can continue to cause irritation, inflammation, and discomfort. So when you're using grinding or working under your car or drilling or using any other kind of power tools, electric saws, there is debris that can fly up and hit you in the face, hit you in the eye. So wearing glasses is very important. Ideally, you wear safety glasses, which are rated for impact resistance. And you'll see when you go buy safety glasses in the hardware store that they have a little rating on them. It says ANZ something or other. And then you want to make sure that it has the safety rating on those glasses so that they're shatter-resistant lenses and that the frames are strong enough to withstand the potential impact of something going and trying to hit you in the eye. So wearing safety glasses when you're working around the house, particularly with power tools, when you're working on your car, is something that can be very beneficial and save you at minimum a trip to the eye specialist or the emergency room, and at most, and save you at best, your eye, you know, because there are eye injuries that can occur, even from these types of around the house things that can be permanently damaging to the eye and cause loss of vision and even loss of the eye in some cases. Working with fireworks, you know, it's not yet July for the 4th of July, and it's, and New Year's has passed a while ago, but just as a quick reminder, fireworks cause serious eye injuries as well, because those fireworks cause explosive forces which can hit you in the eye and cause damage to the eye and even complete loss of the eye in some cases, which we have actually seen a number of times. So be careful, wear eye protection whenever you're doing things that might damage your eye. That would include sports activities. When you're playing basketball, when you're playing racquetball, make sure you're wearing the appropriate eye protection so that you reduce the chance of an injury to your eye. When you're working with chemicals around the house, you may want to consider wearing some kind of eye protection or safety glasses or goggles, but at most you want to make sure that you're pointing spray tips away from you, that you're washing your hands after you use chemicals so that the chemical, you don't rub your face and get the chemical in the eye. And you want to make sure that you're also, if you do get something in your eye that may be toxic to the eye, that you go ahead and put or rinse the eye well with some kind of water or other solution prior to running out and going to see an emergency room or an eye doctor. The first thing you want to do is try to rinse out the stuff that's in your eye. Okay, so that's important. And we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about some eye news, and we'll also have time to take your calls. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back. And here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. And if you have a question for us, now's a good time to call. 521-8383 is the number to call here on Oahu. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, you can call us toll-free. It's 1-888-565-8383. Calling from the neighbor islands, you can reach us toll-free. And here on Oahu, 521-8383. We're talking about eyes. And I want to remind everyone that tomorrow is Mother's Day. Of course, I don't think I need to remind you, but maybe I do. But if you are so inclined, one nice gift that you could give your mother, particularly if she's over age 60, is the gift of sight. We talk about this sometimes. Holidays come around and we say, okay, well, why don't you treat your older family member, your parent, or someone who's a little bit older, to an eye exam? Because if they haven't had an eye exam for a while, having an eye examination can actually save your vision. There are numerous conditions that can affect the eyes that you don't know about or don't realize you have unless you actually have an eye examination. So if you, for example, have early stages of glaucoma, you're not going to know you have it unless you're examined by an eye doctor and they evaluate your eyes and look in the back of the eye and determine that, in fact, glaucoma is present and may be robbing you of your sight as you have no symptoms whatsoever. It's only once the glaucoma becomes very advanced and the vision is already lost, or mostly lost, that most people can see symptoms related to glaucoma. So if you have a mother that you'd like to take care of and you want to offer her something special, offer her the opportunity to have an eye examination. Mom, I'll drive you into the eye doctor. Your insurance will probably cover the examination anyway, so I don't have to pay anything out of pocket. That's a pretty good deal for me. But I can drive you to the doctor's office and make sure that you get taken care of. And so it's something to think about. And really, you know, the reason we bring this up on the holidays is not so much because we expect you to actually go, hey, Mom, I'm going to get you an eye examination for Mother's Day, but because we want to remind people how important it is to have eye examinations as you get older. Now, as if when you're in your 40s, 50s, you're having an eye examination every 2-3 years is probably okay. There's not that many things that affect people in that age category other than updates in their glasses that we're likely to pick up in an eye examination. But if you have a family history of glaucoma, someone in your family has glaucoma, or if you're diabetic, you should be having your eyes examined more frequently, at least once a year, or more frequently as recommended by your doctor. If you're over 60, though, it's a different story. There are a lot of conditions that start to develop that can affect your vision without you really being aware of it immediately. You know, glaucoma can develop over time. Cataract, age-related macular degeneration, all of these things can develop in their early stages without any real symptoms. And things like macular degeneration and glaucoma, if they're treated early, may have a better outcome than if they go untreated until the person develops symptoms. So getting an eye examination on a regular basis is important. Once a year if you're over age 60, once a year if you're diabetic, once a year if you're over age 40 and have glaucoma in the family, and less than age 60, probably every 2 to 3 years, and if you're in your 20s and 30s and you don't have any vision issues like needing glasses, then probably having an eye examination every few years is fine. Okay, let's see. We have some news stories here. I want to see what news stories look interesting here. This one here about stem cell injections for retinal problems says treatment that slows macular degeneration vision loss with one stem cell injection shows promise. It says here there are currently no treatments that slow the progress of age-related macular degeneration, a major cause of vision loss in seniors resulting from a deterioration of the center of the retina. But now a new experimental treatment successfully tested in rats promises to potentially change this. In the journal Stem Cells, biomedical researchers from the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles describe how a single injection of adult-derived stem cells lead to a significant slowing of vision loss in rats with age-related macular degeneration. Lead author Dr. Xiaomi Wang, a research scientist in the eye program at the Cedars-Sinai Board of Governors Regenerative Medicine Institute, says theirs is the first study to show preservation of vision in age-related macular degeneration after such a treatment. Age-related macular degeneration occurs due to deterioration of the macula, the central part of the retina, which is a thin layer of nerve-rich tissue in the back of the eye that senses light and allows us to see. People with age-related macular degeneration gradually lose vision centrally. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, around 1.8 million Americans aged 40 and older are affected by macular degeneration. This figure is set to reach 2.95 million in the year 2020. So, let's see. For their study, they converted adult human skin cells into stem cells and then used those to derive neuroprogenitor stem cells, which is stem cells that are designed or that are destined to develop into nerve-type tissue like the retina. In other words, they coaxed mature cells from human skin to regress to an earlier undifferentiated state from which they could then be reprogrammed to become a type of cell that can then mature into a number of different types of nerve cells. When researchers injected these cells into animal models with macular degeneration, they found that healthy cells traveled to the retina and formed a protective layer around it that stopped the retinal cells responsible for vision loss from deteriorating further. The authors note that a single injection of these nerve-related stem cells resulted in 130 days of preserved vision in these rats. This is equivalent to maybe 16 years in humans. So these particular stem cells may have a significant effect in slowing vision loss in certain forms of age-related macular degeneration in human patients. And he expresses optimism, the director of the study, about study findings. So although additional preclinical data is needed, our institute is close to a time when we can offer adult stem cells as a promising source for personalized therapies for this and other human diseases. Okay, kind of interesting. So stem cells are an interesting way of approaching disease in medicine nowadays. What stem cells mean, what people mean when they talk about stem cells, is cells that are at an early form in their development. So when a child is conceived, it consists of a single cell that's half made up of the mother's ovum and half made up of the father's sperm. So these two half cells get together to form a single cell, which then starts to multiply and divide, and that single cell divides millions of times to create a complex being, which eventually exits the birth canal as a baby. As this single cell divides into many cells, each of these many cells differentiates into more specific types of tissues. So our body is made up of many different types of cells, many types of tissues. We have bone, we have blood, we have blood vessels, we have muscles, we have skin, we have hair, we have eyes, and all of these things are developed from a single cell. So that single cell has to change or differentiate over time to become the individual types of cells that make up our skin, hair, eyes, and all the other parts of our bodies that involve different types of cells and structures. And so there are hundreds of different types of cells within the body. And so that single cell has to differentiate into these hundreds of different types of cells. So these, in the initial phases of development of a human embryo, the cells are what we call pluripotent. They are able to develop into any, or pluripotential, they're able to develop into any type of tissue. And so as more time goes on in the embryonic development process, they become more specific. And so they go from being stem cells to being final cells. And so this is a process that happens in embryology. Now, getting stem cells from embryos is controversial in some circles. And the idea of utilizing embryos for research is uncomfortable for many people. And so this whole concept of adult stem cells has been developed, where the cells in our bodies are taken sort of backwards in time in order to become more pluripotent types of cells. So we take cells we don't need, skin cells, for example, can be scraped off the skin, dry skin, dead skin, and take these cells and turn it into precursors to skin cells and turn those into precursors of skin cells. And then those, now how this is done, I have no idea, but this is part of what we're able to do with modern technology and modern laboratories. And so these adult stem cells then develop the potential to turn into other types of tissue. And so if you get these neuropotential stem cells, which are able to turn into nerve tissue, then potentially they can turn into retina cells, which then can lead to the development of new retinal cells in an area where, say, the retina is damaged from, for example, age-related macular degeneration. So very interesting research. Be very interesting to see in 10 or 20 years how stem cells figure into the care of different types of disease. You know, you could imagine also for certain organs that are affected by cancer. If that organ is, the cells in the organ are going bad, they're growing into a tumor rather than the material that's needed to repair or keep the organ functioning. You could imagine that stem cells could potentially go back to help regenerate or rebuild or make more youthful the organ that's degenerating due to the cancer cells. So if you can get rid of the cancer and replace it with these stem cells that help to have the organ regenerate, then that certainly could be a huge advance in treatment for diseases like this. So we'll have to see what happens as research goes on. Probably 10 or 20 years, things will look quite different in the field of medicine in terms of how we approach certain types of treatments, certain types of diseases. Another just interesting note before I take a short break. It's kind of interesting. I heard on the news today that Liberia, the country Liberia in West Africa, has been declared Ebola-free. Now, that was one of the centers of the Ebola outbreak. And I'm going to try to get to a story a little bit later in the program about Ebola and effects on the eyes. But the interesting thing about the Ebola epidemic is that although they were able to eventually get it under control and now apparently eradicate it from the country in Liberia, the health of the children in the country has actually suffered as a consequence. And one of the things that's happened is that children have not been vaccinated because parents want to keep them away from health centers, because health centers are where people with Ebola go, and people with Ebola can pass on Ebola to other people. And so you don't want to go to a health center where you could potentially pick up Ebola. So kids were kept away from health centers and not vaccinated. Now, it turns out that when you have measles, if you haven't been vaccinated against measles and you have measles as a disease, it not only does it affect you and cause a serious disease in the child that has measles, but it also damages the immune system of that child. And in fact, the immune systems of children who have had measles don't work nearly as well as the immune systems of children who have not had measles. And not only that, but measles somehow manages to erase some of the memory that your immune system has. So if you were immune to chickenpox because you'd had chickenpox before, and then you have measles, the measles could theoretically erase the chickenpox immunity, and you could be susceptible all over again to chickenpox. So having vaccinations against measles not only makes measles a disease that you're not going to get now as a child, but it also makes you much less likely to develop other diseases in childhood. So children are more healthy, and they've seen this in country after country in which immunization has been introduced into these countries for measles. And as a result, the general health of the child population has significantly improved. So I thought that was a really interesting finding, something that just came out very recently in terms of the study linking the increase in measles vaccines or explaining why the increase in measles vaccine in any given country helps to reduce the health issues of children in that country and improve the overall health of children in that country. All right, let's take a short break. When we get back, I will do a little more eye news. I'm hoping to read a little story about a doctor who was infected with Ebola and developed some eye issues as a result. Kind of an interesting little story. And of course, we always have time to take your call. So give us a call if you want to talk live. 521-8383 is the number to call. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, was I unwise?
This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We have open phone lines if you want to give us a call and ask us about your eyes or someone you care about. And we're happy to try to answer your questions. Give us a call, 521-8383 here at the radio station. If you are calling from outside of Oahu and you'd like to call us toll-free, there is a toll-free number. It's 1-888-565-8383. So I have a story here that I came across this week in the New York Times about a doctor who contracted Ebola while he was working with people in Africa. And he developed a secondary late problem related to the Ebola that's kind of interesting for eye specialists. So I'm going to read parts of this article here and just share it with you. It says, when Dr. Ian Crozier was released from Emory University Hospital in October after a long, brutal fight with Ebola that nearly ended his life, his medical team thought he was cured. But less than 2 months later, he was back in the hospital with fading sight, intense pain, and soaring pressure in his left eye. Test results were chilling. The inside of Dr. Crozier's eye was teeming with Ebola. His doctors were amazed. They had considered the possibility that the virus had invaded his eye, but they had not really expected to find it. Months had passed since he became ill while working in the Ebola treatment ward in Sierra Leone as a volunteer for the World Health Organization. By the time he left Emory, his blood was Ebola-free. Though the virus may persist in semen for months, other bodily fluids were thought to be clear of it once a patient recovered. Almost nothing was known about the possibility of eye involvement. Despite the infection within his eye, Dr. Crozier's tears and the surface of his eye was virus-free, so he posed no risk to anyone who had casual contact with him. So more than a year after the epidemic in West Africa was recognized, doctors are still learning about the course of this disease and its lingering effects on survivors. Information about the aftermath of Ebola has been limited because past outbreaks were small, no more than a few hundred cases, often with death rates of 50% to 80%. But now, with at least 10,000 survivors in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, patterns are emerging. So Dr. Crozier calls himself a poster child for post-Ebola syndrome. Besides eye problem, he has had joint and muscle pain, deep fatigue, and hearing loss. Similar problems are being reported in West Africa, but it's not clear how common, severe, or prevalent they are. There have even been results of reports of survivors being left completely blind or deaf. Doctors say the eye problems, because they threaten sight, are the most worrisome part of the syndrome and most urgently need attention. Dr. Crozier's condition is called uveitis, which is an inflammation inside the eye, and it has also been diagnosed in West Africans who survived Ebola. At the height of the epidemic, health workers were too overwhelmed with the sick to worry much about survivors, but as the outbreak wanes, the World Health Organization has begun to gather information to help those who have not fully recovered. So says that they've been seeing symptoms in patients who have been out of treatment unit for up to 9 months. They're still severe and impacting their lives sometimes. So they want to see as many patients as they can so they can determine what kinds of long-term consequences the infections with Ebola might have. They said the main things they're finding about is a lot of body and joint pains, chronic headaches, women who are not having menstrual periods anymore, and some of it has been going on for months. There's also quite a bit of vision problem, and one patient that does seem to be deaf. So hearing loss, they said, could be from brain inflammation or low blood pressure. And the eye problems are often due to inflammation. It says when Dr. Crozier's eye trouble began, he and the Emory team suspected Ebola might have weakened his immune system and left him vulnerable to some other virus that invaded his eye, maybe one that would be treatable with an antiviral drug. So Dr. Stephen Yeh, an ophthalmologist, went and did a biopsy of the inside of his eye, and the results came back showing a lot of Ebola virus. So there was a report of Dr. Crozier's eye condition published in the New England Journal of Medicine, because this was such an unusual finding. It says here, the inside of the eye is mostly shielded from the immune system to prevent inflammation that could damage vision. The barriers are not fully understood, but they include tightly packed cells in blood vessels that keep certain molecules out of the eye. Finding Ebola in the eye threw the doctors off balance. The doctors had not worn as much protective equipment as they might have had they suspected Ebola. And tests had shown that the tears in the outer surface of the eye were Ebola-free, so he didn't pose any danger to others. But, of course, performing surgery to take the sample from the inside of the eye could expose the virus to the outside world and to other people. Okay, so it says that Dr. Crozier's eyes continue to deteriorate as they were fighting the inflammation. High doses of steroid were causing other problems and symptoms with him. He had high blood pressure. His vision was getting worse. And then at one point, he just could see movement of objects and not much more than that. He also was having hearing loss on that same side. So over time, actually, he did actually begin to get better. They gave him some antiviral drugs, and they weren't sure whether it would be helpful or not, but gradually he did seem to get better. And so the doctors feel that this was related to his immune system starting to cure things, and over time he did continue to improve and did end up getting significantly better, and much of his vision did return. So that was kind of an interesting story, a little bit about some of the long-term effects of Ebola, which, of course, we're not going to see a whole lot in this country, since Ebola did not affect a lot of people in this country, only a few that made it over from Africa where they were potentially infected. But it is something that doctors internationally may need to deal with, is these longer-term consequences of Ebola and viral diseases like it. And I think that they can learn a lot about how viruses affect our bodies and get into different parts of the bodies and affect the eyes as well, perhaps by studying this Ebola affecting the eye. And so it is, I think it's going to be a good learning experience. We'll have to see what comes out of it. All right, let's see here. I have an article here that says, British Journal of Ophthalmology publishes paper that describes new theory for dry eye disease and identifies a severe eye-centered pain. So this is a paper to be published in the British Journal of Ophthalmology. Has a fundamentally new theory of the cause of the commonest form of dry eye disease, and also identifies a previously unidentified suicide-provoking eye-centered pain disease that the authors have named oculofacial pain, according to a news release. They suggest that the, doctors in this study present a new theory that they suggest accommodates the contradictory findings that many times people are looking at tears as the underlying cause of dryness, but it may actually be malfunctioning nerves and that's causing the feedback mechanism that is not making the tears work properly. So they have a new theory now saying that they think that the corneal nerves are affected and the tear thickness sensors are not working properly. So there may be adequate tears, but the eyes feel dry anyway. So these are kind of like false dry eye alarms. And they suggest over time that progression of the nerve disorder could degrade the ability to transmit messages from more tears to the tear glands, which may eventually result in fewer tears. So, in other words, instead of saying that the disease is related to not producing the correct number of tears or enough tears, they're saying that, in fact, because the nerve feedback to the eye is changing and the eye doesn't realize that it's actually is doing okay, or the eye doesn't realize whether the tears are good or bad in quality and quantity, that it's sending a feedback to the brain, which is causing changes that then result in more dry eye symptoms. So it's an interesting kind of idea, an interesting kind of theory. We'll try to find out more about that for a future program for you. We've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Christy for helping out here in the control room, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. And if you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer your questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website, hawaiianeye.com. And you can find podcasts of the radio program. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @DrTortora. Or check us out on Facebook at Hawaiian Eye Center. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Wahiawa, Waipahu, and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And listen again next week. You'll hear Dr. Stephen Ree. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. Aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
2020.
It's the at-work distraction that actually benefits your brain.
And people need to hear it, that's all.
KHBH Honolulu.